Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
The Affordable Care Act may provide you with some unpleasant surprises, such as shrinking networks and higher deductibles. Well, we're going to provide you with some ways you may avoid or at least lessen the pain. My guest is Kimberly Langford. She is contributing editor and columnist with Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine. Kim, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Well, thank you for having me.
Now, this is a subject that's on everybody's minds because there have been so many ups and downs with healthcare.gov, the website, all those issues. Kind of put in context for us where consumers are right now in terms of using healthcare.gov, for example.
Well, about 8 million people signed up for insurance on the exchanges. And the key thing is, no matter where you're getting your insurance, whether it was on a state exchange, off an exchange on your own, or even through your employer, you're probably experiencing a lot of similar changes. And as you mentioned, higher deductibles, shrinking networks, more expensive drug costs, no matter where you get your coverage. So you really need to learn a lot of new strategies to help lower your overall healthcare costs.
Now, you've been covering healthcare issues for a long time, so you've been watching this as it's developed. Are there any things that surprise you about it, about the Affordable Care Act, or that you feel is really a problem? What is the biggest problem? Aside from all the issues we've heard about the website, okay, it affects all of us, I mean, in some way or the other. What is the biggest issue that you see consumers having to face?
Well, it is interesting that for so long, everyone was talking about the problems with the website. And eventually, most people ended up signing up who wanted to sign up. But then they start using their policies. And that's where they get some surprises. One of the biggest surprises that people are starting to see is the shrinking networks.
All right. Now, describe what you mean by shrinking network.
Well, a lot of times, the doctors that they may have had in the past, even in the same insurance company that they currently have, may no longer be covered by their policy. And so they don't realize this until they go to the doctor and they realize that they have to pay out-of-network costs, which are not just higher co-payments, but it's based on a higher base amount. You usually have a higher deductible. The whole cost structure is totally different. And you may not realize this until several months into using your policy that the doctors you thought were included are no longer part of your plan.
Okay, so this is going to require a lot of foresight on the part of consumers. You're going to have to do a lot of planning and a lot of checking, because you do have, in many cases, you do have options as to what insurance plan you get, but you may or may not have those options depending on whether it's super employer provided. And I want to come back to employer provided and what's happening in that arena. So how do consumers start checking this? Now, people may be sitting there listening to us right now saying, oh, my goodness, I wonder, I haven't needed a doctor. Are they covered? How do you find out? I mean, I find it extremely confusing, to tell you the truth, that I'm supposed to know something about consumerism.
Well, and that's the thing, that on the exchanges, it wasn't always very clear who was covered and who wasn't. And a lot of people didn't even know the right question to ask. In the past, you could usually say, oh, do you take, you know, Blue Cross Blue Shield? And they would say yes or no. But now many insurance companies have several versions of their plans that may include certain doctors in some of their plans. And the same insurance company may not include certain doctors in other versions of their plan. So you not only have to say, are you covered by this insurance company, but are you covered by XYZ plan? Also, if you go to the insurance company's website, sometimes it can list the doctors, but it may not always be up to date. So you need to keep calling the doctor. You need to call the doctor and ask them about the specific plan. You need to call the insurance company and ask them. It's been a mess for a lot of people.
I can imagine. Well, just the whole idea of the doctor's offices having to fend off these calls of who or not who is covered in terms of their patient load. I mean, this is going to see, I would think that some doctors are going to see a shift in patients simply because of the coverage or lack thereof.
Well, and that's exactly right. And I talked with some people from my article in Kiplinger's that had called their doctor's office and they had asked, are you covered by this plan? And the doctor's office didn't know that the insurance company had different versions. And so now they're stuck in the plan until open enrollment in the fall. She plans to change plans for 2015. But unless you have had a life change, and there's a whole list of events that qualify, like if you're married, divorced, have a child, move, then you can change plans outside of open enrollment. moment. But otherwise, you need to wait until the fall to change your plan for 2015.
Why is that so restrictive? Because suppose you've gotten into absolutely the wrong plan.
Well,
I mean, this to me, and you know what? We went through this in changing because IBM stopped providing insurance for its retirees. And we had to go through all of this. And I'm not sure still that we got the best advice, especially in the medicine side of it. So we'll come to that in a little bit. But so really, you've got to start out doing research. You've got to go to the websites of the plans that you're considering. You've got to look at what the premiums are and how much you're going to have to pay out of pocket, right? And you're going to find out whether or not these doctors are in that network. And that is going to be probably the biggest challenge.
That's true. And they're learning a lot from what happened during open enrollment this last year. I mean, just getting onto the website was a big mess for a lot of people. And then the second level is getting transparency of information. They've been talking in a lot of states about making much of this much more clear. When you were talking about medicines, that's another area because a lot of plans now have several pricing tiers for their medications, sometimes four, sometimes five tiers. And so just asking if your drug is covered isn't enough because right. You may be in one of the kind of non-preferred brand name drug tiers that charges 50% of the cost. And if you're on some medications like Enbrel for arthritis, you could be paying thousands of dollars even if you have coverage through your insurance.
Right.
So you need to know exactly how it's covered as well. And that was the hard thing is when people signed up, they got some general information. And they got the information about, you know, general copayments and premiums. But a lot of these nuances that they're discovering as they use the policies make such a difference. It was really hard to decipher that at first.
Now, is there a difference in the surprises in store for consumers depending on whether or not they had signed up through healthcare.gov, which with its myriad of problems did succeed in signing up some people? Or is this going to be a problem that you're going to face whether you're going out to, say, you go to a broker of a sort of insurance and you talk to this broker and they provide you advice? Are they going to know the answers to these questions? I mean, what's the best way for a consumer come fall? Let's say that they've decided that it doesn't cover the doctors they want to use. What's the best way for a consumer to start planning ahead?
Well, if you do qualify for a subsidy, and that's if your income is below 400% of the federal poverty level, then you do have to ultimately buy your policy through your state exchange. And in some states, that's healthcare.gov. In some states, like Covered California, things like that, it's its own. But if you don't qualify for subsidy, you can get a policy wherever you want. You could buy it through an exchange, or you could buy it through an agent or an insurance company. And it's interesting that there's, in several states, many companies didn't participate on the exchange and just sold, you know, straight through brokers and themselves, like United Healthcare. Some states did exchange, but some states just sold, you know, straight through brokers and themselves.
Right.
So in that case, working with a broker may be able to help you. I talked with some. There's one insurance agent in Florida who's really helpful with a lot of people who just needed some explanation of these nuances.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
And sometimes they will know, but sometimes it's even hard for them to get the information.
Right. To really be accurate. Oh, let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Kimberly Langford. She is a contributing editor and columnist with Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine. And we're talking about health care and health insurance and what you're going to find out. And we may not be able to completely lessen the pain, but maybe a little preparation goes a long way in this instance. So we were just talking about the shrinking network and and that is a challenge. I mean, that is an extreme challenge. What happens if you are admitted to a hospital now and suppose your doctor, your physician, that you have to have surgery and there's an anesthesiologist who's not a part of your plan? We have heard this complaint many times, long before the Affordable Care Act, that people would come in and unbeknownst to the consumer, the poor patient, they end up with huge bill for anesthesia.
That is...
I mean, I'm not picking on the anesthesiologist. This is can be typical of any doctor.
But that is a very common problem. I've heard from a lot of people with colonoscopies, for example, who the colonoscopy itself is generally covered as preventive care with no cost sharing. However, it's only if you're in network. And if you're out of network or if any of the providers are out of network, you might get a bill. And I've actually heard from several readers and colleagues who had gotten a surprise bill from an anesthesiologist because their doctor was was covered, but the anesthesiologist was out of network. And then they get, you know, a few hundred dollars bill.
Oh, it could be bigger.
And even can be even more. And it's a big surprise. They thought they did everything right. These are some things where you're getting such negative press about it that hopefully they will do something will happen that by next year, there may be some more transparency, some more tools, things like that. But the anesthesiologist, especially, ask very carefully when, especially if it's
who's going to be the doctor, right? And whether or not they are going to be covered under your plan.
Right. And not just about the surgeon in the hospital. Talk about that whole level. Now, a lot of insurance companies are providing tools that make it a lot easier to look up who's covered and who's not. United Healthcare even just started a pilot in just a few states where they even have a booking. You can book with doctors online, like Open Table. And you know that they're going
to be... It won't be as much fun as Open Table.
Exactly. But you know that they're included and that they're available. So it's those two things. And to make the most of those tools, because you will, a lot of these plans, like Aetna and United Healthcare, for example, for a while have had tools where you can look up doctors who are in network, even preferred doctors that not only are in network, but even have lower cost sharing, and also find out the whole range of, you know, everyone there, if you're getting the tests and things like that as well, because that's another area where you might
the radiologist that you go to.
Exactly.
Yeah. And as you say, it's a whole network of doctors, shrinking or not. But you've got to figure out who is covered. And that shrinking you refer to are the number of doctors that are in the networks.
That's right. And so, you know, a lot of plans had, you know, many doctors who are in the networks, and you just can't assume that your doctor's still in the network from year to year.
Right. Okay. Well, let's move on and talk about these higher premiums that people are being hit with. And I gather that is not uncommon. And I know my son, who owns a small business, it was extraordinary how much more money they're going to have to pay for health insurance.
Well, and it is interesting. I mean,
it's kind of heartbreaking because, you know, small businesses have been struggling in our economy as it is. And he offers insurance and, you know, we were discussing it and he said, I can't believe what it's going to cost me.
I mean, premiums have been increasing for the last several years, but then with the ACA, with the Affordable Care Act, there's a lot of new requirements that need to be met. For people who have medical conditions, their premiums may actually decrease, or they may be able to get coverage if they hadn't in the past. But as a result, people, especially who are young and healthy, a lot of them have had an increase in premiums. So it's really interesting. Depends on demographics, depends on health. Also depends on your state and the marketplace in the state. Some states don't have very much competition, so they're going to have a lot higher premiums than other states. But quite a few people have seen a big surprise. And a lot of people who may not have had quite as comprehensive policies, but they may have been healthy and they may have been fine with that.
Right, sure.
The policies now need to cover these 10 essential health benefits.
Want them or not.
Right. And if the policies didn't cover them in the past,
being pregnant is not probably going to be consideration. I don't mean to make fun. It just boggles your mind sometimes with what we're undergoing. Okay. So you've got to do shopping around. And should you make a list beforehand of what you need in, you know, your health. You've got to look at all your medicines, everything that you're doing. What is your family history even, I would think, would be of interest, even though now, no, it doesn't matter what your health is, you can get insurance. But wouldn't that be a consideration in terms of looking at premiums?
Definitely. And, you know, I included a few people in my article who are experiencing this in all different ways. And one woman who I included, she takes about 5 medications and 3 of them, she cannot take the generic. So she has very high drug costs. She can't really lower them. So she really, when she was looking for the plan, she was looking for what are the premiums, but also what are the out-of-pocket costs going to be for my medications. And since these are brand name drugs, she saw a huge range from plan to plan. She actually ended up getting a platinum plan, which was one of the more expensive plans, but it had much better coverage for her drugs. And when she added up, she estimated what her costs would be throughout the whole
year.
Smart woman.
Mm-hmm.
She was really made a really smart decision and saw, oh my gosh, if you add premiums plus the co-payments, actually the higher premium policy for her ended up costing less at the end of
sure.
the year.
I can understand that would happen because they would provide better coverage for those drugs that were a brand name, not generic. So,
And if you have medical conditions, it's really important not only to make sure your doctors are included, but also look at the out-of-pocket maximum. And all of the policies must include an out-of-pocket maximum for individuals of $6,350 or less. But some policies have it much less. Some policies may have it, you know, in the $3,000 or $4,000 range. And that's the most that you have to pay out of your pocket for mm-hmm. your deductibles and co-payments. So if you're someone who is going to go through your coverage very quickly, if you're someone with, you know, a lot of drug costs, a lot of medical mm-hmm. issues, that's the key number
for you
to look at.
The lower number.
And look at the lower number. And that's where some of the gold and platinum plans for some people who have, you know, medical conditions ended up working out better.
Oh, it's a lot of work. It is a lot of work. You've really got to do a lot of research. You've got to understand it. And your article can be found at Kiplinger.com as well as on the current edition of Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine.
That's right. It's at Kiplinger.com and the July issue of Kiplinger's Personal Finance.
All right. Well, you know, it's a fascinating subject, Kimberly, and you certainly are giving us some things to think about. We're going to take a brief pause here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about that very thing we talked about, online pharmacies, medical costs, medicine costs, and so on. So just to let our listeners know that you're tuned into Of Consuming Interest, I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Kim Langford. She's contributing editor and columnist with Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine. And we're trying to save you money, as we always do, right? All right. So anything else that we need to know about the subjects that we've just been discussing, or should we move on to online pharmacies and the risks and the benefits and so on?
I think dealing with higher deductibles, I can just briefly mention some HSAs and things like that.
Go ahead. Tell us about higher deductible, because that it depends on you, your pocketbook, a lot of issues, right?
Well, and that's right. And no matter whether you're getting your coverage on your own, on the exchange, through an agent, or through your employer, you're probably paying higher deductibles than you had in the past. And even employer plans, and people, you know, employer plans haven't changed nearly as much as the other plans have. But
they've all, just about all have changed.
All have changed.
Because there's new requirements for those plans.
And just over the last several years, this trend has been going on for, you know, 3 or 4 years, even more. Currently, about 38% of people with employer plans have a deductible of $1,000 or more. And that's up from just 18% 5 years ago. And 15% of the people in employer plans have a deductible of $2,000 or more. And so even if you have good coverage through your employer, you're needing to have to pay a lot more out of your pocket. And so it really helps to learn about becoming a smart healthcare shopper, whether it's about, you know, lowering your drug costs, whether mm-hmm, it's about, mm-hmm. You know, getting x-rays at outpatient radiology centers rather than just assuming that you get them at the hospital. Another key thing, if you have a high deductible plan, if your deductible is at least $1,250 for an individual plan or $2,500 for a family plan, you can qualify for a health savings account. And that's a great way. It's a triple tax benefit, and that's really hard to beat. So
tell us about the health savings account.
So if you have a high deductible policy, that also meets a few other requirements. You need to ask your insurer if your policy is HSA eligible. Then you can open a health savings account. A lot of insurers have it paired with a bank automatically, or your employer may offer one, or you can go out, you can go to hsasearch.com and search for a lot of different versions. But you put the money in, it's either pre-tax if it's through an employer plan, or it's tax deductible if it's on your own. The money grows tax deferred, and then you use a tax-free in any year for medical expenses. So
I think that's a wonderful thing.
It's a wonderful thing.
But how restrictive is it? I mean, how many people, do you have any idea how many people would be eligible to use it?
I mean, with these deductibles, I mean, as long as you, most plans that have those deductibles, the $1,250 or the $2,500 for family coverage, most of those plans are HSA eligible.
They would qualify.
And you need to ask your insurer, because some plans aren't eligible if, for example, they have a different deductible for medications. But otherwise, and you can open it on your own, even if your employer...
Well, this would be a very important question to ask when you are looking to purchase your insurance.
Well, and that's exactly right. And that's another area where I'm hoping that the marketplaces and the exchanges will be a little bit more clear, because it wasn't always clear when people were looking at the list of policies, whether they were HSA eligible or not. But this is, so it's similar to a flexible spending account that many people have had through their employer. But the big difference is it's not use it or lose it at the end of the year. You can keep this money growing for years and years.
And have it available if you have a medical emergency and you need to use it. Can you use it for almost anything medical?
You can use it for almost anything medical. So all that deductible, those out-of-pocket expenses. So some people, there's two different strategies. And some people use it every year for their out-of-pocket costs. But other people, they, you know, may not have many medical expenses, or they may use other money for their current expenses. Mm-hmm. And they keep this growing in the account for the future. And a lot of these plans, you know, let you keep the money in like a savings account type thing. But some also let you invest in mutual funds. And you can grow this for retirement healthcare savings. You can no longer contribute after you've signed up for Medicare, but once you are on Medicare, you can still use the money in the account tax-free.
Well, the money is Medicare tax-free. Expenses. You can still use it for expenses to cover the cost in there.
Exactly. And so after you're on Medicare, you can use it to pay for your Medicare Part B premiums, Part D.
Why would not everybody
Medicare
who qualifies
Advantage?
Sign up for a health savings account?
I think a lot of people are just still learning
about it,
really is a great benefit. If you're going to have a high deductible policy, this is at least some way to stretch your cash a little further.
I think it sounds extraordinary. What a wonderful idea. I mean, if that were available to just everybody.
So many people are you know, struggling to deal with high deductible policies for the first time. They haven't had to pay all this money out of their pocket first.
Yep.
So it's at least something to help stretch that money a bit.
And that's related in some part to the fact that there are so many more requirements of things that have to be covered in the health insurance, and the fact that people with pre-existing conditions can get insurance. So the insurance companies have to absorb that cost.
On the individual side, on the group side, you know, the deductibles have been increasing for the last several years, and they have not had a lot of, you know, big changes from the ACA. You know, they were already covering all employees and regardless of pre-existing conditions, you know, if you had a large enough employer. But they've also been experiencing higher deductibles just because healthcare costs have been rising
and employers
have been looking for ways to keep them more manageable.
Well, just figuring out all the forms to deal with. It's going to cost us more.
It's very complicated.
Oh, my goodness. Indeed it is. Well, what about the drug costs? How do we cope with that? And we only have a couple of minutes.
Well, and that's another big change. Over the last several years, whether you have an employer plan or on your own, the insurer has probably added more drug tiers. And that's different pricing tiers. So if you have preferred generic drugs, you may pay next to nothing. But all the way up to, if you have brand name drugs, you may be paying, you know, 30 to 50% of the cost of the drug out of your pocket. And that means that in the past, many people just had a fixed dollar copayment.
Right.
So maybe $25. So it didn't matter what the drug actually cost. But now that it's a percentage, and now that it's sometimes a very high percentage, you really need to know about the cost of your drugs. And some insurance companies can cover them very differently than others. So if you do take expensive brand name drugs, that's going to be one of your number one things in your search for a plan is to find out what your out-of-pocket costs are.
Yeah, I would think that would be the top priority, because that could make such a difference. I gather that some drugs are not available in generic form, and some people prefer to take a name drug rather than the generic version because of whatever their illness is.
And it's also helpful to ask your doctor if there's another version of the drug that may not be a generic, but they call it a therapeutic equivalent that may provide similar. You know,
20 seconds. Tell me about online drug companies, shopping online. That can be dangerous, can it?
Well,
you have
to
be careful.
And many insurance companies have preferred pharmacies now. So you want to find out what the preferred pharmacies are.
So you need to find out who you might be able to use.
And if you have longer term drugs, it usually helps to get that home delivery, get that online and home delivery through those preferred pharmacies will be the least expensive cost for you.
Right. But you still need to shop. You still
need to shop. You need to shop for the pharmacy. You need to shop for the drug. Ask your doctor if there's any alternatives that could still cover you in the same way.
Asking questions can save you money. Kim,
definitely.
Thank you so much. You've been listening to Off Consuming Interest. My guest has been Kim Langford, contributing editor and columnist with Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine. You've been listening to us right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Shirley Rooker. Thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.